Accession number 26735, Reel 2.
Ken Lockyer, Reel 2. So where did you land in Egypt?
Port Said. No, Port Tufik, actually. Port Tufik, which is a little bit further south.
Yeah.
And we went by train then to a tented camp, which was already set up. And that was a huge place with hundreds of people, but, you know, army units as well, you know.
What did you think of the people in the army as opposed to you being in the Marines?
Well, we didn't really have any contact with them, really.
Did you think you were a senior service to them?
Well, we always used to hope we were. But, well, I mean, you don't really think seriously about that.
So how long did you stay in the tented camp?
I should think a couple of weeks. It wasn't very long. And then we went to Crete then.
Right. So where did you leave from?
We left from Port Said.
And what did they tell you before you got on your ship? What did they tell you about where you were going or what you were going to do?
Well, as a matter of fact, we were all told it was all very hush-hush, you know. And, when we were getting on this ship, which is about the rustiest looking ship I've ever seen, I think it was written off before we set off. But, there was a huge, great packing case beside the ship with Crete written on it with letters about 6 foot high, and I thought, well, that's so much for a secret, you know. But
so you got on this ship?
Yeah, it was the City of Canterbury, and we were fortunate really because the ship we were on broke down twice. And on one occasion, somebody came round saying, is there anybody here that knows anything about marine engineering? So it's a pretty grim situation. We were in a small convoy, that I think it was three ships, and the other two ships went on, and we were left behind, and we had one destroyer stayed with us and circled around us, but anyway, they got the engines going, so they must have found somebody that knew something. And, then when we were just on the edge of Crete, we were attacked by low-flying torpedo-carrying aeroplanes. Somebody said they were Italian, but I don't know, because we couldn't see from where we were. But then we eventually arrived at Suda Bay. One of the ships, one of our three ships' convoy was hit with that torpedo attack.
But was it lost?
Well, I think they beached it eventually. But
so as you came into Suda Bay, was it daylight or?
Yes, it was, I think it must. Well, must. Yes, it was daylight. Mm. Yeah.
What was the scene like? What did you do and what did you see?
Well, when we arrived there, there was a ship that was burning in the harbour that had been sunk, and there was a warship there, which was also sunk. Half of its, the top part of the ship was out of the water, but. Anyway, we got off the ship very quickly because they were coming over, the German planes were coming over, strafing the sort of area. And so then we went into the olive groves and stayed there for a couple of days.
Did they seem to know where they were going to deploy you? Was it sort of all organized or?
Well, we were part of the defense of Suda Bay. which was a big natural harbour. And so, of course, there were just a few heavy anti-aircraft guns like we were on. And, you know, they had other people like transport and peer building parties and light attack and some infantry. So, I mean, it was a sort of mixed bag. But we didn't see anything of those. As soon as we got ashore, we sort of all went our own ways, and so we never saw the rest of them again.
Were your guns set up, or had you brought them with you? Or?
No, we had to collect them from somewhere. I don't know where, but I suppose they came on the ship. I expect it was that big box marked Crete was in there.
And so where was your position? Where was your gun position? This was above Suda Bay, was it?
Yes, we were on a sort of fairly thin sort of neck of land, actually, between the town of Hanya and Suda Bay. Hanya was on one side. We were on a ridge, and so to one side was the town of Hanya, and the other side was Suda Bay, where the ships came in.
And was there any cover on this ridge, or was it rocky?
Very rocky. There's all apart from olive trees. There was no cultivated land there. Well, it was too rocky, really.
Can you remember your position now, where the gun was?
Yes, we've been back and had a look at it, but never quite sure just where we were. You know, it all looks different going back after a few years.
So what was life like there? Did you stay there for quite a time? You were on that gun all the time, were you?
Yes, we were there. We arrived on the 10th of May, 1941. And the invasion was the 20th. So we were only there 10 days before the main battles.
And was this a 3.7?
No, we were on 3-inch guns then. Right. Which we preferred, really. They're very much faster.
Are they?
Yeah.
What makes them faster?
Well, they're lighter shells, and you can sort of... with a 3.7 gun, you put the shell, which is quite a heavy thing to carry, you put it into a sort of a sliding carrier, and then you slide the shell, you pull a toggled sort of cable, and that pushes the shell into the breech. But with the 3-inch, you don't have any of that. You just put somebody opens the door at the back of the gun, and somebody will come up and push the shell in by hand, which is a quicker business, really. But of course, they haven't got the range of the 3.7s. So there's, you gain one way, not in another.
So what could you see from your position? You could see the whole bay and the whole area around, could you?
Well, we could look down onto Suda Bay, which is where most of the action was taking place. And, we could see... We couldn't actually look down onto the town of Hanya unless we walked a sort of quarter of a mile over to one side of our ridge. And then you could look down onto the town.
Did you feel very exposed up there?
Well, fairly, yeah, because being so rocky, we had a job. Normally, we would build a sort of defensive wall all round the gun, somewhere to get down behind if they ever go at you, you see. But it was so difficult to get rocks. You know, we needed some dynamite, really, to blast a few bits off it, but we were a bit exposed.
So what was life like during those 10 days? How busy were you?
Well, we were quite busy most of the time. And then we had to stop firing because we were running out of ammunition.
Where did the ammunition come from? Was this coming up regularly, or?
Well, to tell you the truth, I couldn't remember. I remember carrying a few boxes from a lorry, but I suppose they came on. You see, when the ship that we came on in into the island, to the island, well, I think that was the last ship that ever arrived safely, because they were all the ships that came after. There were several ships that came afterwards, and they were all sunk in the harbour almost before they could unload, I think, in many cases.
Did you see that happen in any of those cases?
Well, not... Well, I suppose... Not really. So not really, because, of course, when the commotion... When there's a lot of commotion on, you sort of... You know, I'm looking up there and the ships are down below, you know. But,
So, what was the commotion, what was the action like? I mean, was it continuous, or was it when ships were coming in that all the German planes made a special effort, or what was it like?
Well, the German planes used to come over in groups, and there were two sort of separate lots, really. One were the fighter planes, and they would just go up and down the island firing at anything that moved. And we had no aeroplanes. We did, when we first arrived there, there were a couple of Gloucester Gladiator biplanes, which were antiques, really, up against the Germans. And they took those off back to Egypt, I think. So we had no air defense, and so the German planes could do what they liked. And the only opposition they had were the anti-aircraft guns. So they made it. They made sort of short work of us, really.
How effective were you against those German planes?
Not
the Stukas, were they?
Yes, yeah. Well, we didn't do very well, I have to admit. I don't know why, because we did exceptionally well in England. Mm. And
Was it different?
I suppose it's a sort of luck, I suppose, in a way. But and then, of course, they stopped us firing for at less than, I think it was six planes, I think. If there were just three or four, you weren't allowed to fire at those. So... But if there was a larger flight, you know, then you could have a go at them.
That left you very exposed if there were three up there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, we were the sort of the target, in a way, whereas in England we weren't. We were, well, fortunately, apart from a few times, you know, we weren't really attacked by the German planes.
So it must have been quite nerve-wracking, was it, and quite exhausting?
Well, yes, it was a bit more apprehensive, I think. So, you know, if you're firing one direction and you wonder who's coming up at the back, you know.
So you had 10 days of this?
Yes, and yeah.
How continuous was that? Did you get...
Well, it wasn't... all that continuous, but there was always something cruising, some German planes cruising around. So we just take sort of cover where you can.
And where were you sleeping? Did you have any sort of cover or tent or?
Yeah, we had just like bivouacs. We didn't have any buildings of any kind. The only building was used for the cookhouse.
Mm. So you had cookhouse meals?
Yes. Yeah, you know, they were pretty elementary. But
did you ever see any officers? Did anyone come around and visit you, or did you have an officer with you? Or?
Well, we had an officer. We had two officers with us.
Who were they?
Um,
ships were they?
Oh, well, one was a second lieutenant, and the other was a lieutenant, I think.
Right.
Sure. I ought to know that, shouldn't I? And now you're going to say their names. I can't remember. Yeah. One of them was called Reinhold. And I think of the other one in a minute, but I can't for the moment.
How much did you did they work as part of the team, or were they separate from the team, as it were?
Well, theoretically, they had to give the word to fire. In other words, it's got to be established that it's an enemy plane that you're firing at, you know. So, but they sort of, you know, took part in the command post, generally. I mean, they were working members, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What sort of communications did you have? Were you getting information in from other places? And
well, we had a telephone link, but I can't remember much about that. I don't remember.
Yeah. So you were really operating as one unit and just
preoccupied
with dealing with the planes.
Yeah.
How did you think it was going to end? Did you think you were going to that Britain would take Crete and keep the Germans out? Or?
Never thought about it.
Didn't wonder what was
going to
happen next.
Well, no, I mean, you just had to put up with one thing at a time, you know, and it wasn't much thinking, forward thinking then.
So, when we were getting towards the 20th of May, how did things change?
I can't remember anything different on the 19th. But on the 20th, we were sort of just collecting some breakfast in the morning. And we realized that there's this sort of like a black cloud coming over. I don't know how many aeroplanes took part, but it was a large number. And so we just swung the guns around in a different direction. And waited until they came into range, because we could see them before we were able to fire. But in the meantime, of course, we were sort of shot up by other planes. So we were my particular gun. We were put out of action right away.
Really?
Yeah.
And what could you do then?
Well, I mean, we were. That we had three people wounded out of our gun crew.
Yeah. And this was by a machine gun from a...
These are machine guns from fighter planes. Mm-hmm.
So they managed to get in close enough to...
Well, yes, and of course the thing is that we couldn't do very much about hitting back at them, because they came in from all directions. They didn't just sort of come in one line together. They came in from different sides, which is very difficult to cope with a big gun. Yeah.
Do you remember who was hit in that incident?
Yes.
Can you remember their names?
Oh, yes. Well, there were... Apart from myself, there was Jack Beaker, Ben Neek, Alec Blacker,
and you were hit as well, were you?
Yes.
Yeah. What sort of injuries did you sustain?
Well, I had a bullet wound through my arm, in forearm and my top part of my arm, and a piece of one of these explosive bullets, I think, must have gone round through my lung, through my chest, came out of the back.
So you were quite badly injured?
Yes.
Mm. What do you remember about that happening?
Actually being hit by a bullet. There was no pain as such. It was like a terrific kick. And, I remember getting off the seat of the gun and propping myself up inside the wall of the little bit of a shelter we had. But I don't remember much else after that, except being carried down by two Australians on a stretcher down to the town of Hania. That was a sort of like a wounded sort of clearinghouse sort of place in a school, I think.
So you were taken down to this school, and what happened to you there? Did you get medical attention?
Well, yes, but it was a bit haphazard sort of treatment, really. They didn't do very much. Because they were bombing the town then. So I suppose I was there for about 3 days, I thought, 3 or 4 days, I think.
Really?
And then we were shifted out to another little village further along the coast.
Were there a lot of wounded there?
Well, I suppose there were about 50, say, something of that region.
Mm-hmm. And they were all British, were they?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you know, I mean, I don't know how well you were, as it were, then. Were you able to talk to other people? Or?
No, not very much. Not really. Mm. I'd sort of come and go a bit, you know.
Had you any idea what was going to happen to you? Did you think you were going to die or think you'd be evacuated?
Well, we all had ship's labels stuck on us, like evacuation history of, you know, like your medical history pinned on. But although there was a hospital ship that came into the bay, I don't think it took anybody away. I don't know whether it was because they were being shot up or not, I can't say, but theoretically they should have had free access to pick up the wounded. But
so what medical staff were there? There was doctors, were there?
There were doctors there in Hania. Yeah. And then when I moved along to a village called Kalevis, about 10 miles away from the town, I suppose, and I was put in a house, just a private house with about another dozen people, I suppose, and the only medical attention we had there were two Australian sort of medical people, but they weren't doctors.
Right. And what treatment had you had by this time? Had you had any proper treatment?
No, I'd had a couple of stitches put in under my arm, but no other treatment then. As a matter of fact, for the actual arm wounds, I had it was just a question of keeping it all everything together with plaster. Just that's all.
Yeah. Did you get given morphia?
At first, yes.
Mm. And after that, was it very painful?
No.
Oh, right.
No.
Yeah.
Wasn't painful at all, strangely enough.
Yeah.
Which is a bit surprising, really. You'd think it would be, you know.
Yeah. So you were put into this house in the other village.
Yes.
And you had orderlies there, did you?
Yes, just these two chaps. They were really, there was a school there in this village, and that is where all the worst cases were put, and they had sort of doctors there, but we were like an outlying part of the medical setup there, you know.
Who else was in the house with you? Do you remember?
No.
Some other
other, you know, army people, I suppose.
Yeah. And how long were you there?
About 3 or 4 days, I suppose. Not very long. Mm-hmm. And then the Germans sort of passed over that line, sort of. So we were hoping that we were going to be well treated by the Germans.
So they were occupying the area. You were,
yes, they'd yeah. gone past there.
Yes, yeah. So what happened then?
Well, I suppose it's about, this is where my, you know, time I find difficult to sort of realize exactly, but anyway, I was put on a German plane and flown to Athens, so I was hoping none of our planes were about at the time. But they were all wounded on there, you know, and they took them. There was an Australian hospital set up in Athens, a very big 3 or 4 story building, which I presume that they'd taken over when troops first went into Greece, because that's where the Greek campaign started. And then when the Germans pushed them out of Greece, they kept on this medical hospital, this military hospital.
And was that staffed by?
They were staffed by our people, or chiefly our doctors, English doctors, but there were Australians, I know, as well.
Even though this was now behind German lines?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what sort of treatment did you get there?
Well, we had more regular treatment than, you know, we visited by doctors quite regularly. But anyway, food wasn't very plentiful there. That was the main sort of thing to worry about. But so anyway, I stayed there for a month, I would think. And then I went by hospital ship, an Italian hospital ship, from Athens to Salonika.
Ken Lockyer, end of reel 2.